Good morning and welcome to episode 117 of Martin Uncut. Today it's June the 28th, 2021, and today's episode is The Data Detective by Tim Hofford. I really hope you had a great weekend. I had, and it was a long one. That extra day makes the weekend feel so much longer than it does otherwise. It's almost like having two Sundays in a bit. And we actually did. Both Saturday and Sunday were actually Sundays this week. So that was really nice. I am a bit extra happy today since yesterday I got my first COVID shot. Woohoo! Last week I actually finished to read two different books. I have talked about the books earlier. And one of these books that I finished is The Data Detective by Tim Hofford. And that is what I will talk about in today's episode. And as usual, you can find a link in the show notes. This book is a book about statistics. It is around 250, 300 pages, something like that. And the language used in the book is quite easy to follow. But even though this is about statistics, don't worry, it's almost no math at all in the book. When Hofford was young, or at least younger, I think he's around my age roughly, he read a book by Daryl Huff called How to Lie with Statistics, and that's a book that he really, really loved. And this book is a classic, really. It talks about how statistics commonly is being used by fraudsters and tricksters to manipulate people. And statistics has gotten a pretty bad name. And Hofford claims this has had negative consequences on people's life and well-being. And one example of this can be the fight against cigarettes or the fight to get cancer, commonly known as an issue for cigarette smokers. And he talks a lot about this. And apparently when they was figured out that cigarettes caused cancer, there was a lot of lobbying and smoke and mirrors cast out by the cigarette or tobacco industry, because of course they didn't want people to stop smoking just because they died of it. They still want to make money, so they discredited statistics quite well, and that's probably a reason why it took longer for this fact to be common knowledge or commonly accepted. So Hofford's intention with this book is to really persuade the reader that statistics can actually be used to illuminate the reality around us, and you do that with clarity and honesty. It doesn't have to be frauds and trickstery. The book is split up in 10 main chapters or 10 rules. Personally, I don't really like when books are being split up like this. Why is it always an even number? I mean, why isn't it 12 rules or 8 or 3 rules? I mean, why does it always have to be 10? So that's why I don't really like when a book is like that. I have studied quite a bit of math at university for my electrical engineering master's. So a few years actually of math studies, or at least 1.5, 2 years, something like that. So I have, I would say, a pretty good foundations into math and statistics being a part of what we read. I have, of course, not worked a lot with it afterwards, but I would say I have a base knowledge about math. So a lot of the things that he discussed in the book was things that wasn't really new to me or like surprising or anything I didn't really understand. But if you're less versed in math, or you think math is hard or statistics is really, really strange, this is a good insight to the world of numbers and why it do matter. The chapters that spoke most to me was the fifth rule, and this chapter was addressing survivorship bias and related to this, publication bias. And how does these two biases impact modern science, and especially the softer sciences like psychology? Harford talks in the book about research being done, and we only see the result of the successful experiments. We don't see what was done and didn't work. And this sometimes leads to what is called harking, and that essentially means hypothesizing after the results are known. And what it really means is that the scientist did his experiments, and maybe they didn't really work out in the way that he wanted. And as you may know, scientists are measured from what they are publishing. So if they can't publish anything, they may lose their grants and they may need to look around for other work. And this comes into the publication bias, because the publication bias says that most newspapers, they don't only want to publicize things that are newsworthy, like what is new. They don't want to publish non-findings. So if a scientist do a test or an experiment and they don't find anything, that is not interesting. So that will not be put out into the publication. And the publication bias also impacts the science world in a very strange way. It's that if a scientist finds a result, let's say that you figure out ego depletion, which is a well-known physical experiment or the theory. Let's say that you find that out and you publish that. And of course, that's something new, so that's going to be published. But when you do retest and you redo these experiments or very related research and find out things there that could be counter to ego depletion, a lot of papers don't want to publish this because it's not newsworthy. It's a non-finding. So that means that you can put something out there about a theory that is new, but it's harder to actually put something out there that proves or shows that maybe this doesn't work. So that means that we can get quote-unquote facts out that is really not facts yet. Back to harking. But harking, you do your test, you find something or you don't find something, and then you look into the results of your experiments and you see maybe you find something else, and then you create your hypothesis from this. And that means that you didn't really have the idea and you validated it with your experiments. You found the idea from the experiment. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. But to make this trustworthy, you then need to actually design another experiment or do another experiment that is actually validating that idea you got from the data. That's what you should do. But if you don't do that, you're harking. Daniel Kahneman is a person you probably heard about. He is a Nobel laureate, and he's also an author of the book Thinking Fast and Thinking Slow. This is a book that you've probably seen. A lot of people bought it, but I don't think that many people actually read it. I have bought it. I haven't read it, but I will read it. It's on my list of reading materials. He and a lot of other people has been quite vocal about the state of science, and especially around the experiments that's being done. And they have said things like it's a train wreck to happen. And these discussions has led to actually a new process around scientific experiments. And now a lot of scientists, they actually pre-registering their experiments. So they actually tell publicly what they're going to do before they do it. So that makes it harder to hark, essentially. And there is also a global effort out to retest well-known experiments and try to replicate them. And this has, in some cases, led to some cornerstone research, like the really fundamental research, being questioned when it's not really possible to replicate. And as I mentioned, ego depletion or ego depletion is a theory that is one of these. But in the specific case of ego depletion, there is still an ongoing debate about if because it wasn't the original experiments that was used to try to reproduce or replicate, because the original experiments, they were harder to mass produce. And it's quite interesting to follow this discussion online and see what's going to happen. A second section in the book that I really liked was when Hoffer talks about the illustration of statistics, and this in form of graphs. And here he talks a lot about Florence Nightingale, the British nurse that a lot of people knows about, but mainly because she brought hygiene to the military hospital in Britain and completely changed the medical history going forward. What most people doesn't know is that she was a statistician, and she created a few of the really first successful graphs. And she created the graph that is called the Rose Diagram. And this was specifically done to illustrate the severe state in the military hospitals. And it really did work. And she really got her message through. And that is an extraordinary feat, because she was living in a different time and she was a woman, and she succeeded heavily in a man-dominated space. So she's a great role model going forward. So I definitely recommend that if you are interested in history around the sciences, read up on Florence Nightingale. That is a really interesting story. I don't think this book will really change anything in my life in a major way. I learned stuff about statistics, especially around the scientific process and the scientific space. Most of the other areas in the book wasn't really new to me, because I have a lot of prior knowledge about math and statistics. So no major news there. But if you think statistics is an area held in shadow, or maybe a tiny bit of magical, this is a great book to actually read, and it will give you some guidelines and what to think about when you are approaching statistics. So watch your feelings and be curious, essentially. So this was everything I had for today. I hope you liked today's episode, and later this week I will talk about another book. But until tomorrow, have a fantastic day. Ciao, ciao.
Martin Uncut, your daily technology dose.